Good morning and welcome to the June 18th, 2025 edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. We have a star-spangled front page in today's paper, starting off with the Sydney American Legion Post 433 American Flag Retirement Ceremony, this article by Ann Roten. The Second Continental Congress approved the design of our national flag on June 14, 1777. National Flag Day was established when President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation on May 30, 1916, establishing a National Flag Day on June 14th in honor of when the Second Continental Congress first approved the design of our first United States of America national flag. Congressional legislation designating June 14th as National Flag Day was signed into law by President Harry Truman on August 3, 1949. The legislation also called upon the President of the United States to issue a National Flag Day proclamation every year. Our American flag also has its own pledge, the Pledge of Allegiance, its own song, which is our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, written by Francis Scott Key, and its own flag code. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 held an American flag retirement ceremony in honor of National Flag Day on Saturday, June 14th, in front of the post home, located at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney. It was a beautiful evening for folks to gather for the event. Post 433 Commander Bill Hench was the MC for the ceremony, and Chaplain Fred Oles provided an opening and closing prayer. Folks in attendance were treated to being witness to the careful, reverent, and proper retirement of over 300 American flags that concluded with a hand salute and the playing of taps by the post Judge Advocate Susan McLean as the last American flag was retired. Sydney American Legion Post members in attendance and participating in the flag retirement ceremony were the Post Commander Bill Hench, First Vice Commander Glenn Dillman, Second Vice Commander Jerry Akers, Adjutant Service and Finance Officer Bill McLean, Chaplain Fred Oles, Sergeant-at-Arms David Dillman, Historian Rollo Catter Henry, Legionnaires Mike Shepherd, and Mel Goodman, and Sons of the American Legion Post 24 Color Guard Captain and Honorary Post Member Scott Roten. June 14th also marked the 250th birthday of the United States of America Army. Happy belated birthday to the United States Army. Your correspondent was able to capture some wonderful photos, which are available in our print edition. More Stars and Stripes news from our front page. This from Tolono and submitted by the Tolono Historical Society, celebrating a pathway of flags for patriotism. Thanks to the village of Tolono, 20 large United States of America flags have been placed along the east side of Route 45, making it a corridor of red, white, and blue as you enter Tolono. It's a beautiful wave of patriotism. Centered between the United States flag are flags for each branch of the military. The armed forces consists of six branches, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Space Force, and the Coast Guard. A POW flag also stands to remind us of American service members held captive under harsh conditions while protecting our nation's freedom. The POW flag stands next to the old fire truck, which once was located in Hessel Park in Champaign, where children delighted in it as part of the park's playground equipment. No longer can it be used to freely climb on, however, but it can be viewed as a wonderful memory of a time gone by. Next to the fire truck, you'll find the words, "In honor of past, present, and future firefighters." Next up on today's front page, we learn some state news, starting with our Governor Pritzker's defending Illinois' immigration laws in a congressional hearing after being summoned to Washington, D.C. Governor J.B. Pritzker spent hours Thursday defending his governing record and Illinois' immigration policies as he was peppered with questions from members of the U.S. House Oversight Committee. Pritzker and fellow Democratic governors Kathy Hochul of New York and Tim Walz of Minnesota were summoned to Washington, D.C. by Committee Chair James Comer, R. Kentucky, to answer questions about sanctuary states. The hearing mostly involved lectures from Republican members arguing immigration policies like Illinois' diminished public safety, while Democratic members blasted the Trump administration's deportation raids. I invited these governors here today because, as the chief executives of their states, they willfully ignore federal law, shield illegal aliens, and pass the cost of free services onto their hard-working taxpayers, Comer said. It's hard to figure out whose side these governors are on. They shield criminals while their own citizens pay the price. Those were the accusations. Pritzker countered by reiterating a point he has made publicly in Illinois several times since he was reelected in November. As I've consistently said, he said, violent criminals have no place on our streets, and if they are undocumented, I want them out of Illinois and out of our country, Governor Pritzker said. And, as we are reminded in Los Angeles this week, we can all agree that violence of any kind, whomever it is directed at, is not acceptable. Pritzker's appearance before the committee came as nationwide protests grew over the Trump administration's deportation tactics and increasing arrest numbers by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, especially in Los Angeles. After protests and violence in that city last weekend prompted President Donald Trump to deploy hundreds of troops, thousands of people marched through the streets of Chicago this week protesting immigration raids. Some protesters briefly clashed with police, and 17 people were arrested, according to the Chicago police. Dozens more protests were planned in Chicago and around Illinois on Saturday. Dubbed as No King's Day protests, the gatherings were designed to contrast with a military parade planned by Trump in Washington on Saturday, celebrating the Army's 250th birthday, as well as Trump's 79th birthday. Pritzker said if the Illinois National Guard ever needs to be activated to quell civil unrest, it's done in coordination with local law enforcement. He criticized Trump's deployment of the Guard in Los Angeles. It's wrong to deploy the National Guard and active duty Marines into an American city over the objection of local law enforcement just to inflame a situation and create a crisis, Pritzker said. Republicans on the committee alleged that sanctuary state laws violate federal immigration laws. Under Illinois' 2017 Trust Act, signed by Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, prohibits Illinois law enforcement from detaining people based on their immigration status and assisting in civil immigration enforcement. Law enforcement cannot hold people based on federal immigration warrants in most cases, but they can make arrests for federal criminal warrants. Representative Gary Palmer, R. Alabama, suggested that the three governors be criminally charged with obstruction because of their state's laws. His comments follow Trump's suggestion that Governor from California, Gavin Newsom, should be arrested. I have the highest duty protect to protect the people of my state. And indeed, if Tom Homan were to come to my state and try to arrest us, me rather, I can say first of all that he can try, Pritzker said of Trump's border czar. I can also tell you I will stand in the way of Tom Homan going after people who don't deserve to be frightened in their own communities. Homan told CNN earlier this week that Newsom hasn't done anything to require being arrested. Controversy over Illinois' immigration policies was also on the table. Pritzker blamed decades of federal government inaction on immigration and border security for exacerbating issues in the United States. He also acknowledged to Comer that President Joe Biden inadequately handled immigration, particularly as 50,000 migrants were sent to Illinois, mostly by the governor of Texas. We are not in charge of the border in Illinois. I can tell you that, Pritzker later told Representative Pete Sessions, our Texas. We don't have a border with a foreign country. Yet we had 50,000 people who came from Texas because they were shipped to us. And let me tell you, I was in favor of helping them. Pritzker occasionally butted heads with Republicans throughout the hearing. Comer questioned the governor about the death of Katie Abraham in an Urbana car crash. She was killed in January by a suspected drunken driver illegally in the United States, according to WCIA. The GOP members mentioned several crime victims by name throughout the hearing. Representative Mary Miller, a Republican from Hinesboro, accused Pritzker of rolling out the red carpet for illegal aliens. That's a quote. Adding that, quote, illegal aliens in our state have overwhelmed our communities. I am not going to be lectured to by someone who extolled the virtues of Adolf Hitler, Pritzker said, alluding to comments that Miller did make in January 2021. Given multiple scenarios about what should happen to people who commit crimes while illegally in the country, Pritzker reiterated that he supports deporting violent people, but emphasized that that must happen with due process. Democrats have argued that Trump's administration is deporting people without due process. Republicans also criticized Illinois' recent budgets for providing more than $1 billion of state health care benefits to people without documentation, along with other programs for non-citizens. However, Pritzker is expected, However, Governor Pritzker is expected to sign a new state budget this month that eliminates a $330 million health care program for immigrants between the ages of 42 and 64. You do not keep track of any public service dollars in the state of Illinois that go to illegal immigrants, asked Representative Byron Donalds, our Florida, after Governor Pritzker didn't offer specifics about exactly how much Illinois spends on illegal immigration. And while Pritzker cast some blame on Republican-led border states for making Illinois part of recent waves of millions of migrants, Representative Andy Biggs, R. Arizona, remarked that while Illinois didn't ask for this crisis, as Pritzker said in his opening remarks, neither did Yuma, Arizona. The hearing veered off topic several times. Representative Raja Krishnamurtha, a Schaumburg Democrat, praised Pritzker's work on the economy and spent time discussing Pope Leo XIV's White Sox presentation, while Texas Representative Republican Brandon Gill asked Pritzker whether he'd ever used a women's restroom. "You're admitting that this is just a political circus," Pritzker responded to Gill. Aside from Gil's question about bathrooms, Pritzker largely avoided any immigration-related viral moments. His most intense grilling was reserved for Walz, as the Democrats' 2024 vice presidential nominee and hopeful over high-profile murders in her state of New York. Representative Nancy Mace, R. South Carolina, remarked that the hearing featured a possible preview of the 2028 Democratic presidential primary. Pritzker and Walz are both viewed as possible candidates in the next presidential election. Pritzker's appearance at the committee hearing is the latest opportunity to grow his national profile. His schedule throughout 2025 has been dotted with national media interviews and out-of-state speaking engagements, where he has often called for more protests of the Trump administration. He echoed that message again Thursday. "I encourage people to peacefully protest, and as I have said many times, peaceful protest," he said. Today's paper contains one obituary honoring Cynthia Rose Demaree, age 71, of Tolono, who passed away at Arbor Rose in Tolono at 4:15 p.m. on Thursday, June 5, 2025. A celebration of Cindy's life will be held at 4 p.m. on Friday, July 11th, at the Worship in Word Ministry at 104 East Southline Road, Suite B, in Tuscola. To begin our community news and notes this week, we'll zero in on the Sydney Scoop with Ann Roten. And she writes that the next Mid-Central Illinois Women's Christian Temperance Union meeting will take place on Saturday, June 21st at 11:30 at Monocle's Pizza in Villa Grove. Please feel free to attend. New members, both men and women, are welcome. And folks can call Vice President Marjorie Miller at 217-202-4397 for more information. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will host the American Legion Department of Illinois Champaign County Council of the American Legion on Thursday, June 26th at 7 p.m. at their post home located at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney. The election of officers will take place at this meeting. This Council of American Legion Commander Bob Henderson is taking a second year as commander and will be reelected into office at that meeting. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile travels to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance. The Foodmobile parks at the Sydney Community Building parking lot at 211 East Main Street in Sydney the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The next Tuesday that they will be in Sydney is July 1st. You can visit the food bank website at eifoodbank.org for more information. The next regular meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, July 7th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street. All monthly meetings, as a matter of fact, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. The Friday, July 25th and Saturday, July 26th, Sydney Fun Days are fast approaching. Watch for more information as we get closer to the date. And from Ann Roten, she wishes us a wonderful week. Next up, we have news from the Philo Library. "We hope all the dads in the district had a wonderful Father's Day. It was pretty good weather for all of us who wanted to be outside. And now it's only 3 weeks until the 4th of July. I don't know about you, but once the 4th of July has been and gone, it seems that summer is almost over. Everything seems to go on into overdrive, and before you know it, it's fall." The Philo Library had Ann Newman, the puppet lady, on the 16th of June. She brought a ton of supplies for our puppet-making workshop. The kids worked really hard, and we had time for each one to make two different puppets. The first was a hand puppet, and there were some very creative ones. We had two Chicago Cubs players and a flamingo and another bird. I don't think we figured out exactly what kind of bird this other one was, but it was orange with some blue and jewels on it. Send in your ideas if you have some. Then they made pool noodle puppets by cutting a piece off a pool noodle, adding eyes and anything else they wanted. One kind of looked like Elvis, but the one I thought were sideburns turned out to be something completely different. So that one is still a mystery. We have one more program planned for the Philo Library for next Monday, the 23rd of June. This is a sleepover for younger kids with stuffed animals. The kids can bring their stuffies to the library on Monday evening at 6 p.m. There will be a light snack and some stories read by Mr. Don. Then the kids will prepare their stuffed animals for bedtime and tuck them in. Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., the kids are invited to have a light breakfast and reclaim their stuffy, along with any pictures that happen to catch what the stuffies did together after the lights went out. Should be a fun time. Next week we'll have more information about the rest of our summer programs and even some new books coming for the Philo Library. Next up, we have our weekly report from the Tolono Library. They start by saying the Summer Saturdays in the Park has been a hit this past Saturday. That was June 14th at Sadorus Park, where the Tolono Library hosted a story walk, gave away free books, had face painting, music, kids had popsicles, and more info on the Tolono Library's summer programs. Two more Summer Saturdays in the Park are coming up. July 10th will be in Savoy at Colbert Park from 10 to noon, and on August 9th at Westside Park in Tolono, again from 10 to noon. The library will be closed on Thursday, June 19th, in honor of Juneteenth. On Saturday, June 21st, we have Kids Story Time from 11 to noon. Join us for story time followed by a child-friendly craft. On Monday, June 23rd, we have Lord of the Rings Trivia Night. Test your knowledge about all things Lord of the Rings. Honor and glory goes to the trivia champ in the form of a Middle-earth souvenir. Earn yourself early bonus points by attending in an on-theme costume or shirt. And don't forget to get signed up for our summer reading program. As always, please visit our website and our Facebook page for more information on upcoming events at the Tolono Library. And now we have our weekly look at the night sky by David Leakey, who is director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College. This report covers our night sky starting today, June 18th, through next Wednesday, June 24th. The official start of the summer season is upon us, he starts. The summer solstice is Friday at 9:42 p.m. This means that the sun will appear directly above the Tropic of Cancer. For us, the noon sun is highest in the sky, but not straight up, giving us our shortest shadows of the year. It also means that our longest day is just over 15 hours. Long days are great, but it also means less time for stargazing. And here we go. Mars is still in the west, having separated from the star Regulus. Next Tuesday, if you look low in the west northwest, Mercury is the leftmost star-like object of three in a row, the other two being the stars Castor and Pollux. By 9:30 p.m. next week, the three bright stars of the summer triangle are above the eastern horizon. Saturn and Venus inhabit the morning sky. A thin crescent moon is near Venus on the morning of June 22nd. The planet Jupiter passes behind the sun from our point of view next week and will reappear in the morning sky the second week of July. Next up, we have news of a very exciting event scheduled for Champaign. It's called Warbirds and Classic Remote Control Planes, and the fly-in is going to happen on June 21st and 22nd. For the fourth year, the Champaign County Radio Controlled Club, and their acronym is CCRCC, Champaign County Radio Controlled Club, is honoring warbirds and classic aircraft with a remote control fly-in Saturday, June 21st and Sunday, June 22nd. The Champaign County Radio Control Club's flying field is located at 3616 West Bloomington Road in Champaign. This is about 2 miles west of Champaign's Mattis Avenue on Route 150. The fly-in will last from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sunday. A public raffle of radio-controlled planes and items will also be held, with the drawing on Sunday afternoon around 1 p.m. The Warbirds and Classic Remote Control Planes event will highlight flying replica planes from World War I to the modern day, including radio-controlled jets. Also featured will be replica classic aircraft that helped advance aviation technology between the two war periods. The Warbirds and Classics event is free and allows spectators an up-close view of the planes, plus an opportunity to talk to the pilots. Once again, the fly-in is located at the Champaign County RC Club's flying field at 3616 West Bloomington Road, about 2 miles west of Champaign's Mattis Avenue on Route 150. Also available will be information on Champaign County RC Club's summer-long Thursday evenings free RC flying lessons. You don't need a plane, as students can use the club's equipment. You do, however, need sunglasses and a hat. You can visit their website, which is simply ccrcc.club, and look for the Warbirds for more information. Next, we want to honor several local university students who have achieved distinction at their various institutions. First is Annabelle Jokisch from Tolono, Illinois, who has been named to the Spring 2025 President's List at the Miami University of Ohio. Next, Brooke Gerritsen has been named to the University of Alabama Dean's List for the Spring Semester 2025. Brooke Hales from Sydney, Illinois. And graduating now from the University of Alabama are John Benschneider of Homer and Brooke Gerritsen of Sydney. Congratulations to all of our outstanding university students. Next up, the Champaign County Master Gardeners are announcing their 2025 Garden Walk, which is scheduled for this Saturday, June 21st, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This year's Garden Walk features a self-guided tour of 6 private home gardens and 2 public gardens across Champaign County. Tickets are $10 and free for children age 10 and under. Advance tickets are available at Country Arbor's Nursery in Urbana and Prairie Gardens in Champaign. Or you can call University of Illinois Extension Office at 217-333-7672. And you can go to their website to buy tickets and have more information, and that is simply go.illinois.edu, and look for the link for the Garden Walk. The Champaign County Master Gardeners invite everyone to experience the joy of gardening and the community during this annual Garden Walk. The 2025 Garden Walk celebrates creativity in garden design, whether that means bold color palettes, unique landscapes, or intentional layouts for pollinators, productivity, or peace. Master Gardeners will be on site at each location to offer guidance, share tips, and answer questions about everything from plant selection to sustainable practices. This concludes our reading of this week's edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I hope we'll see you at the Garden Walks this Saturday. Thank you, and we wish you a good week.